And am I on? Yes, well done. It's actually quite comical, isn't it, when you read it? There's definitely a pastor mentioned everyone's names several times. Don't leave anyone out. Hilarious. We know someone who did a doctorate on comedy in the Bible, and I think that's definitely a bit of comedy there. So today we are carrying on with our saturated theme, and we're looking around the topic of surrender, of what it is to be a people who live a life surrendered to God, completely and wholly sold out, set apart, surrendered for Jesus. And these guys were definitely living this out in the reading today. And we've been going through a wonderful time here at the church. Last week we celebrated the baptisms, and then we gathered in the evening to see confirmations of people declaring their faith in Jesus and wanting to walk his ways and live his ways. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I love hearing about people coming to Jesus, don't you? I love hearing these stories of how people were taken from death into life and what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love those stories. I love revisiting of when I became a Christian, because it just reminds me of that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ that works so wonderfully in our lives and the lives of those around us. We love the scriptures we know and love of, like, Colossians, of that we're hidden in Christ, and in 2 Corinthians that we, you know, the old has come, the old has gone and the new has come. We love all these scriptures. We love hearing of Isaiah, how Jesus, this, like, prophecy of that this Jesus that is going to come is by his wounds on that cross we're going to be healed. We're going to see the bounds of bondage loosened because of Jesus. This is wonderful news, isn't it, that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. I love it. And I could stay there forever and just talk about that. Wonderful news. But there's a reality to this discipleship. There's a reality to this belonging to Jesus, of being adopted into his family now. There's a reality that we are to walk out. There's another side to it. That when you leave the confirmation service, we did leave and go get chips. Probably wasn't a good description. But actually, you are filled with the Holy Spirit to go forth and shine for Jesus Christ. And that looks like something. It looks like we live like something. And it looks like a life that is fully surrendered to Jesus. It's like what Jeremiah says, that our lives are not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price, that when we came to Jesus, we surrendered everything that we had. And now it's not our own anymore. Everything belongs to him. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have God within you? For you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God." Many disciples miss that point, that we stay in this place of, I've been adopted, I'm loved, and it's true, and it's right, and it's good. But not many of us walk out a life like it's not our own anymore, that we belong to someone else. Everything is for him, about him, to him. Nothing is our own anymore. To live a life for Christ is to die to self and live for him. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In view of God's mercy. So as we view all this mercy of God that he's poured in our life, as we view the death that he so lovingly took for us, in view of that mercy, what are we to do? Be living sacrifices for him.
And that's true and that's proper worship. We're to live the way of our master. Jesus showed us it. He didn't come as a king to lord it over everyone, but he came as a living sacrifice. And he came and he emptied himself that we might live. He laid everything down before his Father in heaven. We need to follow the way of our master, that we empty ourselves so that he might live in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We need to be disciples that know that it's not I, but it's him. It's no longer about me. It's all about him. And in today's generation, I think you'd get thrown in a furnace for that one. It's not all about me. It's all about him. I love this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She was the wife of Jim Elliot, a missionary who went to the deepest, darkest tribe to share the gospel, and they were all speared to death. And they've actually made a movie about it. It's coming out soon. And she was left with a 10-month-old baby and facing, what do I do with this? She jumped on the plane and done the mission, finished the mission. But this is what she said about a life with Jesus. If my life is surrendered to God, all is well. Let me not grab it back as though it was in peril in his hands and would be safer in mine. This is someone who's faced great persecution, great tragedy, and she says still her life is safer in the hands of God. We're to surrender our lives to him. And Jesus showed us the way of this surrender, that he came to this earth, but he was in the world, but not of it. He said several times, and Paul says it to the church as well, like, I love it, he calls us aliens, that you are aliens on this earth, foreigners. Everything, it doesn't belong to you. You are citizens of another kingdom, another world, another place. Jesus himself said it in John 18. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to protect me from my arrest, but my kingdom is from another place. He was surrendered to another world, another place. He was surrendered to his Father in heaven. So the benefits of being a child of God, the benefits of being a disciple, is to be a surrendered life. And it's a beautiful life. You think surrender, I saw this picture earlier on this week, I was going to put it up, of what a life surrendered looks like with God. And it's got this one lady on a roller coaster going, yay! And it's got above her head, God. And then this kid going, ah! And he's like, me. And I thought, so often when we hear a life surrendered, we think, it's going to be like a roller coaster, I'm going to be screaming for my life, it's going to be awful, it's going to be scary. But I want to say it might be all those things, but it is utterly beautiful. It was utterly right and utterly beautiful. Jesus himself faced this in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know the story of where he goes to the garden to pray, and he knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be crucified for the sins of the world. He knows he's going to bear on that cross every dark, demonized, sinful thing that we have carried, and he's going to have it upon his shoulders. And he's in this garden, and he is at the point of, he is stressing about surrendering so much that he sweats blood. This is a stress point for Jesus. But he comes to a point where he says, not my will, but your will be done. And what was the outcome? The most beautiful thing ever. He went to the cross for you and I. The beauty of life bore out of death. So living a life surrendered is a beautiful, beautiful life. And I would say it's the only life that you will ever find satisfaction in. So a surrendered life is a beautiful, beautiful life. But in Daniel 3, shows us some of the ways in which we can live this surrendered life. So if we go to Daniel 3, verses, I won't go through it all again. Verse 16, 17, where it says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Imagine being them, standing before Nebuchadnezzar, and you simply say this thing, the God we serve. It's not the God we belong to. It's not the God who makes me feel nice in worship. It's not the God who's given me lots of things, but it's the God we serve. The God we choose to wrap our lives around. The God we choose to shape everything around. They're saying it's the God we serve. Do you serve that God this morning? Are you wrapping your lives around the very God of Jesus Christ? Are we serving him? Are our lives a reflection of him this morning? We're in this place with our boy. He's been adopted into a family. And we could stay in that place. If you've been adopted into a family, you've been adopted into a family. But now he needs to live the way of the family. And it's hard and it's tough. And we too need to be those disciples who know that we've been adopted into a new family, but now we need to live the way of that family. We wrap our lives around that very God. We surrender everything so that we could live out the way of him. In John 6, Jesus has this moment with the disciples. There's this Jesus in town. Everybody wants to follow him. They've seen miracles. They've seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've seen him walk across water. I don't know about you, but I would kind of be like, I want to follow him. That's amazing. So he's got these lots of followers starting to want to follow Jesus. And he says some beautiful things in John 6 about you don't want to seek after food that perishes, but you want the food of eternal, the food that never wastes away, the eternal food. And then he talks in this, I love Jesus, that he scares people. If you want to follow me, it's gonna cost you. And he goes on about this cryptic message of like this bread of heaven. I am the bread of heaven that's gonna come down. And you're to feast upon me, you're to feed upon me. It's talking about this close relationship, this abiding, that nothing of this world is going to satisfy you. Everything you need is only going to be found in me. Will you come and follow me? And slowly but surely, they disappear. I don't think he's going to do a miracle. He's asking something from me. And the disciples are left there. And he says to them, do you want to go too? And they say this, Lord, to whom shall we go? But you have the words of eternal life. And this is true for us today. That if you've been redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ, filled with his spirit, where else can we go? We've tasted eternal life in him. Where can we go from here? Nothing will satisfy. Things will pass and die and fade away on this earth. But he is the only one who will satisfy our every needs. So we must refuse to surrender to anything but Jesus. What are we holding on to in our lives? What little golden statues are we holding on to? Because we don't quite know what it'll look like if we surrender everything to him. What Nebuchadnezzar's are we sort of just bowing before, bending our wills to, because we're scared of what they might do to us. the life that will only satisfy you can only be found in him, and we have to surrender ourselves to that. I remember being, I still do today, of trying to grab hold of things that I feel entitled to on this earth. I feel entitled to certain things because other people have it. I feel entitled to new clothes, Lord. I feel entitled to lots of food in the fridge. I feel entitled to this. I feel entitled to that. But I'm not. Everything we need is found in him. And you will find a life that is so satisfied when we're fully surrendered. Are we willing to surrender our lives to him? Because you will just be chasing your tail all the days of your life. I remember even the birth of our children. What do we do when we have a child? We come and dedicate them, or we baptize them, or we offer them back to the Lord. They're not mine. They're his. Mark is not mine. He's his. Everything is borrowed because everything belongs to him. And I believe as disciples, we will forever feel burnt out, rushed out, dried up when we don't decide to surrender things in our lives, to narrow our way to follow Jesus. When we started out in leadership, I remember Mark and I sat down and we counted the cost of what it was to be a disciple. We realized that following this way, we're never going to choose where we're going to live. We're never going to choose where we might be in the world. We're never going to choose this. We're never going to choose that. And we thought, poor us, leadership's really hard. But actually, when you read the Bible, it's the call of every disciple to give everything to Jesus. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a beautiful life. It's a satisfied life when we surrender everything to Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:6-8 says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value of all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Surrender doesn't magically just happen. I've discovered this. I thought I would magically just want to do the things of God, that I would want to give up things. I'd want to simplify my life because I just really wanted to. You have to train yourself into the way of surrender. And that might be giving money when you don't want to give money. Sometimes I sit there and I think about what I give away, and I think we could have a new car if we didn't give. Dangerous ground. Give it all to him. It's a satisfied life. We need to train ourselves in the way of him. Train ourselves to pray instead of doing other things. We need to train ourselves in reading the word of God. We need to train ourselves to say, "I'm not going to choose that. I'm going to choose you, Jesus." We need to train ourselves in how to respond to the Nebuchadnezzars when they come to us. What will we say? How will we respond? We need to train ourselves into the way of God. It's not magically going to happen. We don't need some magic person to come and pray for you. Everything is found in Jesus. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that he is the reward for those who seek him. Isn't that wonderful? That he is our reward. Jesus, this eternal God, this one who is at the beginning and will be there till the very end. He is our reward. When we get to heaven and we stand in this throne room, this beautiful throne room, Jesus is going to come to us and he's our reward. What more would we want? I want Jesus to be my reward. And then what happens in, it goes on, Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fiery furnace. He binds them up and just throws them in. And this happens in our life. A surrendered life isn't a trouble-free life. Jesus never promised that. If you read in the scriptures, Jesus never promised, come follow me, and you're going to have a great time and everyone's going to love you. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. Basically, if you follow me, there's going to be trouble. So they get thrown in the furnace, and we will have that in our life. We will come before and say, I'm going to worship you only. I serve this God. And we will be thrown into places. Injustices will happen to us. But isn't it beautiful that Jesus was in the midst with them? And every furnace we get thrown into, every raging Nebuchadnezzar at us, Jesus will be standing with us. He will be standing with us. And what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He goes in, he sees this fourth person in the furnace, and he pours them out. And what does he say? In verse 28, he says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. They were willing to give up their lives. Willing to give it up. It's not about you, Nebuchadnezzar. It's about him. And we need to be people who are willing to give up our lives, because when we do, it speaks to the world around us. So I want to encourage us as a church today to remember that wonderful gift that we've been given. But to remember that in that gift, we are not our own anymore. Our lives don't belong to us, but they belong to him. And to live a surrendered life is a truly beautiful, beautiful life. That we belong to God, but we serve God. We empty ourselves out for him. And we need to be willing to die to follow him. I'm looking forward to the day when I meet those persecuted Christians in heaven. It's a beautiful thing. And if we're willing to die, we need that eternal vision of God. It's not about the here and now, but it's about the eternal presence of Jesus. So I want to encourage us, surrender, lay your life down, give it to him, and you will find the most satisfied life in him. You might not have what your neighbor has, but you'll have everything that Jesus has, and that's way better. Should we pray? Jesus, we want to be wholly devoted to you. And we want to pour out our lives in response to your life being poured into us. Lord God, we want to stand like those three men and say we serve one God. Our lives are shaped around one God. And Father, we pray for the gods of this world to just bow down in front of the God of all of heaven and earth. So Jesus, where we're struggling, where we're holding on to things that don't even belong to us anyway, I pray that through your mercy and through your love and grace that you will loosen the grip on them. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help us train ourselves into the way of godliness, into the way of surrender. And I pray, Lord God, that we will be that bride leaning on her beloved, totally dependent and surrendered to the bridegroom, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen.